Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for being with us tonight. I'm very happy to have my guest, Lisa Campione, who's a psychic energy healer and the dean of students at a school for healers. We'll be talking to her in a few minutes. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. Everybody talks about the law of attraction, that what you focus on expands, that the more you focus on something, the more you get of that particular thing. But there's a second teaching that's as important, if not more important, which goes back over 3,000 years ago. I think the first place that it's recorded is the Emerald Tablets. And it's as above, so below, as within, so without. And I just wrote a note on the website I created about for the people that have been helping me so graciously since my surgery, giving them an update, because today is the one-month anniversary of my surgery. And I was just talking about how far I've come and how far I need to go. And as I looked at what I wrote down, they're the same lessons that we're all learning in our lives. So one of the things that's going on is that now I can walk with a cane. And some of the time after I've been walking around for a little while, I don't even really need the cane. But if I've been sitting and I need to get up and take that first step to get walking, that takes a lot of focus and a lot of effort. And my physical therapist is teaching me how to tell my body, tell my right leg, I'm getting up now and I'm going to walk. You need to function differently. And that's exactly what we're all doing all the time. It's the first step that takes the most focus and the most effort and the most clarity. And kind of as a corollary to that one, I'm looking at how I'm unlearning my old habits. You know, my body before the surgery was twisted in all kinds of interesting ways, trying not to hurt. So my hip was rotated outward. There was very little motion in my leg. And I didn't even realize it. I could walk, but I didn't know I was walking funny. I realized I probably looked a lot like Chester from the old Gunsmoke TV show. Mr. Dillon. But not quite that exaggerated. But, you know, I wasn't walking normally. So now I need to teach my body to walk normally because it can. Everything could be in alignment, but I need to teach it how to walk that way. So I'm becoming aware of the old habits and how I have always used my body. And now I need to teach myself to plant my heel, roll my foot down, grab with my toes, make sure my toe is pointed straight ahead so that my body will learn to walk that way. How much is that like life? We've all got old habits that we've been doing forever that have us twisted in weird directions. And when you become conscious of them, you need to learn to do it differently. And when you're doing that, you have to exaggerate it and really focus and pay attention to it until suddenly you integrate it and you don't have to do it that way anymore because your nervous system has learned how to do it. Your thought patterns have changed. You can do all that. You know, it's even simple things like the shoes I was wearing. When right after the surgery, my leg was really swollen, and the only pair of shoes I could get my feet into were an old pair of sneakers. I just tied them loosely and slipped my feet into them. And since the leg that they worked on is longer now than it was before, I had to figure out stuff to shove under the insole of the other foot to kind of shim up my leg. And at some point, when I go to see the surgeon next time, he'll take measurements and give me a prescription for the perfect thing to go under there. But right now, I've got to figure out something to go under there so it's comfortable to walk and I'm not limping. And I'm going to a specialty shop tomorrow where I can buy off the shelf a little thing to put under my heel. Isn't it great that there are specialists that know exactly what to do for these kinds of things? You can just go to and say, okay, this is what's going on. You got something for that? And they go, yep, here it is. and off you go. And life is like that too. You need to find the expert to give you the information that you really need in that moment, and life will bring that to you. You'll attract it, attract that to yourself. But when they show up, you have to listen because they've got the answer for your particular problem. So I'm learning a lot about finding the right people and then listening to them and doing what they have to say. Some of this stuff is really kind of silly. I can drive. I can't drive very far because it hurts after a while. But I'm told that I'm supposed to walk because the way that you heal all this stuff and you build up your muscles is by walking. But I can't exactly go for a walk in the woods. So my walking is going to stores and walking up and down the aisle. So today's exercise plan was going to Staples because they had a sale. And going to the Dollar Tree to pick up a couple of things. And I'm walking in a different way. It's building things up. This is not what I want to be doing with my time. I want to be out in the woods. I want to be doing what I'll do when it's completely healed. But walking through the aisles of the stores, it's exactly what I need to do right now. And I'm walking. How cool is that? 2 weeks ago, I couldn't do that. So I'm looking at how things have improved. So in all of this, first of all, I want to thank my friends that are listening who have helped me through all this because there have been so many guardian angels. But, you know, the surgeon said to me, hip replacement patients come in a couple of weeks and they're saying, this is the best thing I ever did for myself. I should have done it a long time ago. Well, I'm not quite there. You know, this has been a difficult month, and things are much better now than they were a few weeks ago, but I'm not all the way there yet. But I can sit here and look at what things will be like in a few months, and I can be excited about snowshoeing this winter for the first time in 15 years. So everything that I had to do to get here was difficult. I needed a lot of help. I went through a lot of difficulty. But on the other end of this, it's totally worth it. And that, too, is another one of those things in your life where what you focus on expands and what's going on for you internally is what's going to manifest externally. And all the lessons are exactly the same. So spiritual teachings and spiritual lessons are all around you all the time. It's just what life is about. You just have to look for them and pay attention to them and take the next step based on whatever is in front of you. So that's today's metaphysical musing. And now I'd like to introduce my guest, Lisa Campion from Medway, Massachusetts, which is a couple of hours east of me. And I've got a thunderstorm happening in the background, which is going to creep up on where she is very shortly. How are you doing tonight, Lisa?
I'm doing really good. How are you?
I'm terrific. So you do a lot of things that people think they understand, but you do them differently, I think. You're a psychic. You're an energy healer. You have your special way that you do that stuff. And you also are the dean of students at a school for healers. And there are very few of those programs around. So why don't you give people a little overview of what you do, and then let's talk about the school.
Sure. Well, I mean, you said it, I work as a psychic, and I guess that's sort of the top thing that I do, and I've been working as a psychic. I started working when I was 19, which was like 20-something years ago, and over the years, I've added different modalities. I really decided that I wanted to do some counseling work, so I was trained in counseling and mashed that up into my psychic readings. I really felt like I didn't want to just deliver the news. I wanted to be able to help people process, you know, stuff too. And then about 12 years ago, now I started being really interested in energy work and learned Reiki. So I've been a Reiki master for 12 years, and I teach quite a lot of Reiki. And then about 6 years ago, I started teaching in the school, the Reese Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine. So that's kind of, and I guess I probably am sort of unusual for a psychic. Maybe we are an odd lot in and everyone's different how they do it, but the way that I work is to really combine counseling, psychic work, and energy work together in the session.
Mm-hmm. So you have an approach that integrates a bunch of different modalities.
Yeah, I just think that's the way, like, you know, that the way that I see people, you know, when they come in with issues, like presenting issues or problems or situations, that I tend to work at a pretty deep soul level. Like, I like looking, that's probably the thing that I like the most about doing psychic work, is having an opportunity to really look at somebody at a deep soul level and see the nature of who they are as a spirit, sort of that part of them that endures between lives. It doesn't, you know, it's the part of you that doesn't change, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy describing what I see or informing the person, like, you know, this is sort of what I see as the essence of who you are. And the way that I read people, I include a lot of positives, because I feel like people are really used to finding their own negative things, mm-hmm. their wounds, their dramas, but they don't spend a lot of time seeing what's good about them. And when you look at things from the soul perspective, it's so easy to see what's beautiful and good about people, and that's what I really like to do.
So, and you've been doing this a long time and changing things as you go along, so.
Yeah, it's really
been a learning process.
The way that I work has really evolved very much over the years, you know, as I learn new things and grow and mature myself. My work's evolved a lot.
So tell me a little bit about the school, which I find fascinating.
The school is very cool. And it's funny that you should mention the Emerald Tablets, because the school is really a mystery school. You know, and the Emerald Tablets were part of the mystery school tradition, and I like to think of our healer training school as sort of the 21st century, you know, one of the many 21st century versions of the mystery school, because it's really, what we're doing is working on expanding people's consciousness. And the program that we offer is a very, very transformational program. So it's not a technique-based school, even though we teach really, really cutting-edge, amazing healing techniques. What we're really interested in is sort of polishing the healer, you know, because you can know some really great techniques, but if you can't show up and be present with your clients, you know, they don't. Those techniques alone won't make you a great healer.
Right.
So that's where I'm really, really hooked on the work in the school. Is I love to be part of people's transformational process and see them really move more into that core essence. Our goal is to take people out of their sort of their ego state and put them into a core, you know, the sort of more pure soul state that they have. And it really works, because I'm so impressed by our graduates, and I'm so impressed by the change people go through. It's a 3-year program, so by the end of the 3rd year, they've gone through a lot of transformation, and they have this incredible presence and authenticity about them that is totally amazing to me.
One of the things that I've noticed along the way, as people grow and become more present, but also become more integrated as a healer, is the technique starts to fall away, and it becomes just a matter of channeling energy in the moment and hearing what's going on. So while it's important to start with a technique like Reiki or any number of others and have a set of tools to work with, at some point, they not only become irrelevant, but they actually get in the way of being who you are, doing what you do at a soul essence level.
Without a doubt. And the best healers that I've known or that I've gone to do exactly that. You know, very simple healing techniques. They listen. They're present for you. They do simple hands-on techniques, and yet their healings are so powerful because they're bringing their full being into those moments, and it's a beautiful thing.
Right. I've had an opportunity to see, you know, two of the masters on the planet, at least on video, doing healings, and what amazed me is how they're really not doing anything.
Right.
So I've watched Sai Baba when he goes and there'll be an audience of people lined up outside. You know, he's not on the planet anymore, but when he was. And he would just walk around. Most people, he would just smile at them, or that's what it appeared was going on. And with some people, he'd stop and he'd nod and maybe touch them one place or another. And then he'd smile like, okay, this is finished. Then you go on to the next one. There was no process. There was no outward ceremony. There was no methodology or anything. It was just him in that connection with that person doing a transmission of energy. And I saw the Dalai Lama do something similar. He came to Smith College, and I watched it on TV because if you're there, you never see him. And when he came outside, there was a woman by the ropes calling him over and saying, "This is about my mother." And he recognized the picture she was holding up. And she said, I've talked to you. We've emailed back and forth. And he said, oh, yes, took the picture, held it up to his third eye for a few seconds, looked at it and said, oh, no, she's too young. She'll be okay. And he smiled and focused for a minute and gave the picture back. And that was it.
Wow. Yeah, it's so cool. I mean, I think that's how the gurus work. You know, people that sort of have that guru, that messiah, you know, energy. It's just to be in their presence. You know, just to be sitting inside their energy field. They can create incredibly powerful changes in people just with their presence because they hold so much divine energy. That's how it works with gurus.
But it was also a transmission of his intention and a healing intention.
Yeah.
But
yep.
Without ceremony, without, you know, having the other person present, without any process at all, you could just see he was like, okay, this is taken care of for you. It's all right.
I think that's really the goal. You know, I'm not going to claim to be among those lofty people in the way that I do healings, but I definitely feel like it's certainly changed so much, especially since I started teaching in the school.
Yeah. I started noticing that at some point, all the techniques, all the methods, all the everything just start to get in the way.
Yeah.
It just becomes you doing what you do. Of course, that's really hard to market.
Yeah. It is, and I still work hands-on with people. I like, you know, moving energy, and, you know, I do a combination. Like, I'm talking while I'm doing that, and I don't know, sometimes, you know, I'm making up my healings as I go along just by feeling where they are in the moment, what's going on with their energy in the moment. I find the energy work very supportive for whatever we're talking about in the session. So a lot of times the sessions bring up intense emotions for people, and the energy work is very powerful at helping them move that energy, release things, and move things around. So I've always enjoyed energy work. It's good stuff.
So tell me a little bit more about the curriculum at the school. It's 3 years. What are people exposed to?
Well, it's an immersion program, so we are a weekend-based program. We do 6 weekends out of the year from October to about the end of May, so you come about once a month or so. And each weekend we do a chakra, so we use the chakras. So the first weekend you come in, you're working on your first chakra stuff, and we have a pretty, you know, good, great reading list. So you read a book, do some, we call it homework, but it's really like a personal essay on how you're doing, what's coming up for you. And then we teach a healing that's geared towards that chakra. And the healings really work by helping you learn how to hold your energy field in a different way. And then the other thing that we do is the profiling system. So we teach like a personality profiling method that's like the Enneagram or astrology or the Myers-Briggs. It's similar to one of those to help you understand who you are as a person, where you go into defense or get hung up in your ego, and what your core is like. And then the last leg of the program is really the community aspect, which I think is pretty much the coolest part of the program, that so much happens inside the spiritual community of the class. The classes are about 25 people per class, and the people get very, very close with each other over the course of the 3 years, and there's something incredibly healing about being seen for who you really are at a very deep level. That's just magic, really. And really, the course is designed to sort of bring up your stuff, like whatever stuff you got in your first chakra comes up, is cleared, purged, healed, released, and sort of by the end of the weekend, you've got a new first chakra. We go through all of the chakras over the course of the year.
So for the people who have no idea what a chakra is, why don't you describe what they are?
The way our take on them in the school is slightly different than what you get a lot of places. So when I studied Reiki and yoga and martial arts, I learned that a chakra was sort of a spinning vortex of energy, like an energy center inside of your body that, you know, it's part of your energy anatomy, so it's not like you could dissect somebody and find this part of them. But in that those chakras had to do with, you know, certain parts of your body and certain nerve plexus in your body and had different functions to them. But really the way that we teach them in the school is that they're more like a level of consciousness than anything else, or they are in charge of or help you respond to very primary aspects of your life. So, for example, your first chakra is your body. You know, it's your physical world. It's how you survive in the physical world and everything in your physical world that you can touch. So your car, your home, your money, you know, your food, all of those things are encompassed and ruled by your first chakra. How your first chakra is will determine how you deal with those particular issues. And so we're teaching more the chakras as a level of consciousness than a spinny wheely ball of energy.
So more energy psychology than...
Yes, more energy psychology and really level of consciousness. So the second chakra is how you handle intimacy, sexuality, pleasure, sensation, and your primary emotions. You know, sort of the emotional center. The third chakra would be your personal power, self-esteem, your sense of yourself, you know. And those are, like, big issues, you know. Those pretty much, I would say, like, 80% of people's issues fall within the first three chakras.
Right.
You know? And a lot of sort of spiritual practices or other spiritual trainings are not designed to get you comfy with your first three chakras. You know, there's sort of sometimes I notice in the spiritual world the desire to want to focus on the upper chakras.
Right. You know, and if you haven't cleared your lower chakras, you get in a lot of trouble.
That's right.
Doing the upper chakras.
Yeah, that's why we start with the first chakra. I want to
pick this up, hold the thought while we go to the break in a couple of minutes. But I also want to give the call-in phone number now so that all those people that are out there lurking with questions can call us when we come back.
Okay.
That call-in number is 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. I want to continue the conversation about the chakras and hear more about what you're doing. We're going to go to the break, and we'll be back with the Farkas Files on Empower Radio with Lisa Campione.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. Then you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org.
brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
What would they say?
I have held the same mirror for 13 years.
I have been decorated with purple dinosaurs, baseball teams, and football helmets.
I have witnessed 33 Thanksgiving dinners. And one wedding proposal.
I have tiny notches marking the growth of three children.
I have caused a learning disability.
I am the reason that a fifth grader simply can't sit still.
I am responsible for a five-year-old's rage.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on walls, doors, windows, and sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. If your home was built before 1978, your family could be at risk. Let's make all kids lead-free kids. Log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD.
I am the reason a child has trouble hearing.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
Brought to you by the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
We're back. And that call-in number again, for all of you that want to ask questions of Lisa or me, is 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. I want to get back to the chakras, but the last little PSA that we had on painted walls reminded me of something I learned in psych hospitals. If you want to calm people down, you put them in a pink room. And they will calm down very quickly. But after 15 minutes, it makes them more violent. So I always wondered about little girls' rooms that were painted pink, you know.
That's pretty funny. interesting.
Yeah, there's all these – my brain is full of little tidbits of things, which fortunately or unfortunately, I seem to be able to retrieve at odd times. But we had gotten as far as the third chakra, and we were talking briefly about the issue within the New Age spiritual world of a lot of practices focusing on the upper chakras and being out of your body, having out-of-body experiences, all of that kind of stuff. And it's very good that your program starts by clearing all the lower chakras, because until you do that and you can be very grounded in your body without all the old stuff in the lower chakras, doing that upper chakra stuff at the very least is disorienting, but it can actually be really dangerous.
Yeah, totally. Can be. And I think that it for me, as a psychic, I've been working as a psychic forever. I had to work really, really hard, and I continue to work really, really hard on those lower chakras. And I did 10 years of martial arts just to get me really down in those lower three.
Right.
And it's super important, especially if you want to do any meditation or psychic development, to really clear the channel. Psychics call it clearing the channel, which is working on your own stuff, your own issues.
Right.
It's where most of people's problems are. So I certainly know an awful lot, and this, I include myself in this category of very spiritual psychic people who can talk to angels no problem, but can't balance their checkbook or pay their rent or, find their car in the mall, parking lot. That's something that's really, I think, very, very common with the people, all the psychic people that I know and work with and train. Yeah. And I had to learn it too. It's not easy for me. It's like really flexing a muscle that, is hard. But once you get it, it's so powerful to be able to, you know, tap the gifts and the strengths of those lower three chakras. It's really great.
There's a pattern that I notice in my clearing work. I don't know if you're... I don't know if people can hear the thunder in the background, but there's a pretty dramatic thunderstorm going on outside my window. There's a pattern that I've noticed in clearing, especially with very psychic people and the very psychic indigo and crystal children, where their vibration level is very, very high and they can tune into things outside their body really well. But if they've had any kind of abuse as children, especially sexual abuse, they learn to be out of their body as a way for it not to hurt so much, because they don't have any way to protect themselves.
It's called dissociation. You know, it's just a very normal adaptive or survival mechanism for people who have been abused, you know.
Right. And then what happens under another stressor at some other point in their lives, they immediately go to what worked for them in childhood, which is shut down their first and second chakras and leave their body, which makes them extremely vulnerable.
Yes, and it's very, not only for people that have had abuse, certainly, you know, very extreme for that, but anyone who's empathic, you know, mm-hmm. the super sensitive, you know, empathic types will often learn to dissociate, to pop out of their bodies as an adaptive measure when they've sort of flooded, when they've, like, hit empathic overload and they've just absorbed too much emotional and psychic information and they can't. It happens to me sometimes in Walmart. You know,
right.
I get halfway through Walmart, and I'm like, you know, Scotty, beam me up. Like, I'm out of there. I'm out of my body.
Right.
And then I leave with nothing on, having bought nothing on my list, and with a shopping cart full of stuff, I have no idea what it is, you know? So to really, like, you know, get in there and stay in there. And I work a lot with empaths. I teach classes on empathy and, you know, helping people really... learn to manage their energy fields in a way that allows them to then expand their psychic ability, to expand their empathic ability in a safer way.
It's being an empath or what's been called in psychology a highly sensitive person, although being an empath is more than that, is really a challenge, especially for people who don't realize what's going on.
It totally is.
They don't realize that they're picking up other people's emotions in particular. And the key thing that I teach empaths, especially the indigo kids, is always ask whether an emotion is yours. Is this mine or is it someone else? Because you can't resolve someone else's emotion.
Right. I think that's absolutely 100% true, that until you sort of cotton on to the fact that it may not be yours, you think it is.
You know,
like the sort of the classic example is you go to a party and you feel great, and then you sit next to somebody and 5 minutes later you're suicidal and you can't figure out why.
Right.
You
exactly.
know, it's really the person next to you that, you know, you're picking up, but it's not like you notice that they're, I mean, you might notice that they're having a feeling, but really you feel it like it's your feeling.
Right.
Like that's true empathy.
And it's even worse if you're telepathic and you don't know it and you start hearing the thoughts.
Man.
Let's give the call-in number again and see if there are people that would like to ask us some questions. That number is 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. Call us up. We could have a good time. So we were kind of going up. I just wanted to briefly, again, for people that may be listening and not know the psychic lingo, an empath is somebody who can feel what's going on for another person. And frequently empaths have no idea that they're empaths, and it gets really complicated because they're overwhelmed with other people's emotions and they think that those emotions are theirs.
I'm actually teaching a class called... you know, it's like about managing your energy field in September, and I'm pretty excited about it. And the cool thing about this class is it will be available for people calling in or Skyping in, so you can take it long distance. And we spent some time going over the basics of the energy field, the chakras, the aura, you know, the structures of the energy field, and really focus on learning how to ground, clear, protect, you know, fill yourself, like all these kind of basics that you need empaths and sensitive people, energy workers and psychics, all need to learn these basic skills in order to sort of function comfortably with their sensitivity.
Well, I want to talk to you when we're done about the technology you're using to do a classroom class and share it like that, which is very cool. But also give me the information so I can spread it to my list, because that's a class that lots of people can use.
Yeah.
That's important information. So because of the way your school is set up, people can only come into the program once every 3 years. You just have one class.
We start a new class every year.
Oh, great.
So every October we start a new class, and we have 50 students, 25 in one room and 25 in another room. And then we do only start once a year in October. So we're gearing up right now for our new start, and I think we only have 10 slots left in the school. But it is an incredibly powerful, program. If you really want to make some serious change in your life and giddy up and go, it's a great.
And I think you're the only program in the Northeast. I don't know of any others.
We're the only full spectrum program, yeah, for sure. I mean, there are a few other places that teach different kinds of energy work, but they tend to be more of the technique-based schools. So
right.
We're the only one, definitely the only one here. And we have a unique way of doing it. It's really the product of Reese Thomas and myself have come up with something that's really unique to us and what we believe in. So it's great.
Yeah. Well, I've been to your school because I taught one class there, one evening class. And the energy there is amazing. It's very obvious. Good things are going on there. Yep. So we were going up through the chakras, and you were giving kind of a guided tour. And we had just finished the third chakra, the solar plexus. So give us the rest of the tour.
Sure. We have the heart next to the fourth chakra, which really acts as a bridge between the lower chakras and the lower three and the upper three. The lower three sometimes are called the lower self or the animal part of the self, and really represents your physical body and the physical world and the animal-y part of us. And the heart is where we go into relationship, where we feel love, self-love, love for others, and where we have our relatedness with other people, and sometimes where we feel sort of the higher octaves of emotions like joy and, love and hope, and those things kind of exist in the heart space. And then the upper three chakras, the throat, the brow, and the crown, are the beginning of the mental sphere. Those are the upper, the upper self. It has to do with the throat is our ability to communicate. It's really designed to speak the words of the heart, which hardly anybody ever does. That's not what they're often doing with their throat, but that's what it's meant to do. And how we express or communicate ourselves in the world. Like right now, you and I are really busy using our fifth chakras. That's what we're doing. And it's also the beginning point of the mental world, because we are working with symbolic thinking. Language is symbolic thinking, and that's what the throat is about. The sixth chakra is sort of the, how we see things, how we see our place in the world, and it is really the home of the mind. And the mind is an incredible tool and, an amazing thing that we have to help us navigate the world, but it also causes a lot of problems for people. So that's a chakra that often needs a lot of clearing. And then the last one is the seventh chakra, connect up in the crown of the head. It connects you to God, to the divine, and to infinite possibility. And actually, in our school, we teach five other chakras that are not really part of the, they're more part of the soul or the spirit and the life purpose. So we have 12 that we work with in the school.
So are you using the ones above and below the primary seven, or?
No, they're really part of the life purpose line. So running up the center of the body is what's called the Hara line, or Shishumna, life purpose line, has different names, and that life purpose line connects us to our life purpose, so it sort of comes down from from the source, from God, through your own soul, into the top of your head, down your spine, all the way then into the center of the earth. And it's through this that we get sort of constant communication with our own spirit, with our own soul, and with God. And on that line, there are three of these other chakras, three of these other points. And the first one that we deal with is the Tantian, or the physical life purpose center, sort of in your belly, like a little mm-hmm. below your navel. And it's that's the one the martial artists train, the Tantian. And it has to do with how we express our life purpose in the physical world. So, for example, part of your life purpose is about having a radio show and, you know, doing house clearings for people. And it's a very powerful center. And then up in near our hearts, between our hearts and our throat, we have the spiritual life purpose. And that's where we really feel our calling. So we feel it's near the heart. It's not exactly the same as the heart chakra, but we feel this intense longing or calling to do whatever it is that we do. And then the last point on this line is called the zeal point, and it's in the occiput. And it actually is really interesting what this one does, but it collects all of the sensory and psychic data that all of the other chakras gather and sort of process them like a big computer, a big input center, and that's where we have like flashes of insight, realizations, hunches, inspirations. It's sort of the master regulator of all of our psychic senses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the zeal point. And then there's two other points that we work with in the school that have more to do with your soul. And one of them is the soul feet, also sort of located in your belly. And it's really the point where your soul lives in your body. And then the last one is a little bit above your head, and that's the inner light point. And it's associated with the pineal gland, but it's where the light of your soul sort of enters into your being first there and then settles into your soul seat. And from that inner light point, it's the eighth, some people call it the eighth chakra, where we have this incredible, we experience the light of the universe, the light of ourselves, the light of the divine, all of that. And those are the 12. We call them 12 chakras, or 12 levels of consciousness that we're working with inside the school.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that school works is the first year you're really just working with the seven chakras, and all the healings that we do are based on those seven chakras, and the focus is on understanding and learning yourself, a lot of inward looking, introspection, and learning how to hold your own energy field that way. The second year we work a lot with intimacy and relationships, so you can hold your energy field, but then you meet another person, or you see your mother or your spouse or your children, and then your field gets really shaky. So, you know, can you hold your energy field in relationship? That's, you know, hold on to yourself as we go into relationships. That's sort of the focus of the second year. And then the last year is yourself in the world. Now that you've learned who you are and you can hold on to that in your relationships, how about going out into the world? How is that working for you? So those are the focuses that we put on each of the years of the school.
So I'm just wondering, well, I would love to hear what a typical, if there is such a thing as a typical path and transformation is for a student. So is there someone that you have in mind that you could kind of describe what they were like when they came in and how it progressed and what you see in them as a graduating student?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very individual process, in that people, it really depends on the person. But one of the things that we do is we take pictures. We take a lot of pictures. And you can actually see intense physical changes.
Mm-hmm.
People don't even really look the same. You know, it's totally amazing. And I'm thinking about one woman that I know who sort of like mousy and timid and a little insecure about who she was. And she was a really nurturing mom kind of person. And she had a taste for spirituality, for yoga and meditation, and really like got more and more into that, took a yoga teacher training sometime in the middle of the program, and really blossomed into this incredibly light-filled, like I noticed there's this particular sort of signature that you can see in our students' energy field, like, you know, that their light body looks a particular way. That, and I see her so filled with light. She looks like completely, like she's stunningly beautiful. And she always was, but now she really wears it. You know, she really dresses it, looks it. You walk in the room, you just feel like you're in the presence of this, like, graceful, loving, beautiful person. And she's that way in the world. She's out there teaching yoga and working with people and having a healing practice and being a mom. And and really has gone from somebody you really might not have noticed. You might have just, your eye would have just sort of passed over her, you know, when she first came into the program. And now you cannot look at her. She's radiant.
Right. Right. And those physical changes sometimes are startling.
Yeah, so, it's totally cool. Like this we just graduated another class in May, and we give them these little photo albums of what they looked like when they came into the school and then in the second year and then what they look like as they're graduating. And it's just totally mind-blowing how deep the changes go.
Yeah. Yeah, and lots of people, when you tell people that there are physical changes, most people that haven't experienced that or seen that just don't get it.
They don't, you know, but it's a lot of, sort of a great advertisement for the school. We get a lot of our students, you know, through word of mouth because they've seen their friends or their loved ones go through these incredible changes. And there's always a lot of, you know, life changes that happen along the way too, just because as you change your vibration, you know, and you change where the frequency that you're vibrating at, eventually your life has to change to match that new frequency.
Right.
So we often see engagements, marriages, sometimes divorces, you know, job changes, career changes, I don't know, like all kinds of life events that are happening is, you know, I just got an invitation from one of our students to her wedding because she's going into the third year and she was terrified of relationships, but set that as one of her goals that she had wanted to do that. Then in her first year, she met somebody, and in the second year, she sort of worked through all of her intimacy issues and her fear about committing, and now in her third year, she's getting married.
How cool is that?
Very cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah, and I think that's a real testimony to the power of your program, that people's lives are demonstrating and outpicturing the changes that are going on for them, and that they're able to integrate it, that they're doing something with it other than freaking out and running away.
It's not the kind of away. Program that, that you go to a workshop and you learn a great healing technique and then that was it. You know, this one really, you know, it has sort of hair-raising moments, or it has moments where we're really asking you to look in the mirror, and sometimes it's not easy or it's painful. But as people go into those places, they have breakdowns, and I always say, you know, on the other side of the breakdown is a breakthrough.
Right.
And that's totally the way it goes. And the breakdowns are never as bad as you think they're going to be. You get through them and move a lot of energy, like release a lot of old stuff, and then there's a massive breakthrough waiting on the other side. And that's what I think is so exciting about. It's amazing. I feel incredibly lucky and honored to be, you know, able to witness that. And I'm sort of right there with them holding their hands and, you know, being with them as they go through those things. And there really isn't anything else I'd rather do.
Well, it's always wonderful to hear about programs that do have support and integration built into them, because there are so many offerings out there that are a weekend or a week of very intense activity, but then people go back to their lives and have to try and integrate it and make sense out of it. And that can create an incredible crisis. I watched a housemate of mine went to an incredible training that I had gone to, but she came back and spent 3 days basically in her bed sucking her thumb. She just could not function.
Yeah.
Which was the most dramatic withdrawal symptom that I think I've ever seen for that kind of experience. But not everybody can integrate it without having someone to hold their hand.
Well, something. Yeah, or to have sort of continuity, you know, like we call it sort of the holding environment. So you have that huge shift, you expand your field, you let go of all this stuff, and then you go back in your life and your kids and your family and your job and your spouse, like, all are, like, you know, still expecting you to be the way you were before. And so you will eventually snap back to your old way of being until you go again, you know?
Right. But you never contract down to the size you were before.
No, you never do.
There's always a contraction, and there's always that grief that you're not expanded as much as you were, and you don't feel as wonderful as you did, but you never contract down to where you were before. It's a constant expansion in steps.
Yep, you can almost feel it. It's so funny. You can almost feel it happen on, you know, that Monday morning after class, or maybe you make it to Wednesday or something. And then when your field snaps back, you're like, oh, you know. But that's right. That's the way healings work, too. Once you've changed your field or stretched it out or raised its vibration in that way, that becomes the beginning of your new normal.
Right. You know? Right.
Yeah.
Someone said, once you unfold a shirt from the package you get in the store, you can never fold it up and get it back in the package.
That's right. That's a good analogy. That's good.
So, Lisa, I want to make sure that our listeners know how to find you and both you and your practice and also the school.
Right. Well, you can reach me on my website. It's the best way. It has all my phone numbers and email and stuff on that, and that's lisacampion.com, and that's C-A-M-P-I-O-N, just like champion without the H, lisacampion.com. And the school is the Rees Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine. And the website there is called ReeseThomasInstitute.com. And we are having an open house, the 31st of this month at our healing center, which is called Solstice Healing Center in Medway, Mass.
And you probably should spell Reese because it's an unusual
yes,
spelling.
Yeah, it's R-H-Y-S. That's how you spell it.
Right, so Rees Thomas Institute.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show with us. It has been great fun.
Well, thank you.
My pleasure. I just want to tell people how to get in touch with me if you're interested in my work. And that's househealing.com, houseehealing.com. And cleverly hidden on the contact page, you will find all kinds of ways to be in touch with me. So in the last couple of minutes that we have here, I just want to kind of go full circle and go back to the idea that the lessons that you need to learn are there right in front of you in each everyday activity. And that's kind of what Lisa was talking about with the classes and everything else. There's something that stimulates you to look at things differently, and you can either see the lesson and work with it or not see the lesson. And if you don't see the lesson, it comes back again until you do pay attention to it. So I encourage you to look at all these little thorns in your side and challenges in your life and use them as a way to move forward and have major spiritual breakthroughs. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. I'm sure the truth is in here somewhere. I want to thank Lisa again for being my guest here on Empower Radio. We'll see you next week.